I guess on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we'll bring on Max Egan. We'll talk more about that, about breaking the paradigms with George Kavassalos in the second hour. But Max, welcome.
Thanks for having me on again, Chris.
Oh, thank you for coming on last minute. We were going to take the night off, but, you know, I thought to myself, I owe the listeners a show. We've got to get this information out, especially now with 2012. We're halfway through 2012 now. And I was just listening to Clyde Lewis. As a matter of fact, he was talking about how they just discovered two new Mayan stones or Mayan tablets that say that the god of war and destruction is coming back on December 21st, 2012. So it's no longer just the Mayan calendar, but there's also other artifacts that they're finding, which is pointing towards this December 21st, 2012 date. And of course, you know, I don't think some god is going to come, but we are seeing death, destruction, wars, rumors of wars. We're seeing it all unravel, and even people eating their faces, even people eating each other's faces off. So something strange is happening. Are you noticing the same thing in Australia where things are just getting just really crazy?
Well, it's not too bad here, but I mean, things are getting pretty crazy everywhere. I mean, the energy is really shifting, and you've got the Olympics happening at the end of this month, and well, it's anybody's guess what the rest of the year is going to bring. So, the energy is definitely shifting, and things are rather crazy. The governments, I mean, are out of control everywhere. They're just open slather in enacting anything they want to these days. It's outrageous. In Australia here, actually, they're just saying that Aussie schoolboys are going to get the Gardasil vaccination.
Oh,
like
they were
boys.
Texas.
They're giving it to boys now, right? Not just girls. And it's for cervical cancer, mind you. And it's done enormous amounts of damage to many of the girls that it's been administered to. And now they're going to give it to boys. So, God knows what they're up to with that. Yeah, there's a lot of forces out there that are trying to genetically alter the race there. It's a lot of forces out there that are trying to manipulate the evolution of consciousness that's happening, the paradigm shift that's happening. You know, because a lot of people are waking up. Consciousness really is shifting. Just the fact that we've got shows like this on the air shows how much consciousness is shifting. There's so much talk about the nature of the world. There's so much talk about the New World Order and the police state and everything that's going on. So many people are waking up to it because it's becoming so in your face. And I believe consciousness is shifting. It is going through a transitionary period. And there's certain forces that want to control that. And that's what they're doing. So that's probably contributing to all the craziness, Chris, you know?
What are we seeing with all this negativity, though? Are we seeing the evil, for lack of a better term? I mean, I want to break that good versus evil paradigm. But are we seeing the evil just trying to maintain control in a time like this?
Well, it's the system. The system is becoming apparent now. That's the thing. See, what you've got here is a system that constantly works to make itself more efficient. And it gets to a certain stage where it becomes incredibly apparent. And the more efficient it becomes, the more the human race gets locked down. See, that's the problem. It's the system itself. I mean, I don't even know whether there's evil people that are doing all these evil things. I think people are just doing what they do. But the problem is that they're supporting this system. And the system itself is what's causing all of the problems. You know, I've done whole shows about this where I've talked about it. You know, like everyone's very compartmentalized in their businesses and even within their governments. I mean, sure, a lot of the high-ranking officials in governments probably know a fair bit about what's going on. But again, all of that's compartmentalized. It's all on a need-to-know basis. I'd say all the prime ministers actually know what's going on, and certain people in the party do. But it's all compartmentalized. So people don't really think too much outside of their own box. Even if they know what's going on, they still have their own agenda, and they still have their own perspective. They're not looking at the whole thing holistically. And the problem is the system. The problem is the system itself and the way the entire human experience has been reduced to commerce. And when you have a commerce-based reality, this is what you get, you know. And if it's all about commerce and it's all about the bottom line and it's all about supporting the economic model, then it has to make itself more efficient. And when you see that it's a corporate model, the whole globe is a corporate system. And that's what the New World Order is. It's a global corporation. It's once all these corporations have merged together into one big corporation, that's what the New World Order is. And because it's commerce-based, this is what you get. You know, so I think it's up to people to notice that and to realize that. It's all very well to point the finger at people, but we've got to understand that this system functions because we support it. And we've got to look at what measures we could take to step away from it. And this always brings me back to trust. It's got to come back to trust law, because that's the only way to get away from it. You've got to realize what your relationship with government is, and that's a trust agreement. And once people realize this, and we have this united community, and we have respect for each other, we can change the world in 3 seconds. It's really that simple. You know, that's what we need to do. And that's what I think we've been given the opportunity to do. The more it gets in your face, the more people can see it, and the more people will wake up. But when they do wake up, they've got to know what direction to go in. And that direction is through common unity, and it's through understanding the trust agreement that exists between you and government, I believe, anyway.
Well, doesn't commerce have some kind of place in society, though? I mean, you know, we couldn't live on a barter system. I mean, for instance, I do carpet cleaning. And if I wanted to go get a new mixer, then I have to go to the guy that makes the mixers and say, do you need carpet cleaning? He says, no, I don't need carpet cleaning, but Mrs. Smith down the road needs it, and I actually need something that Mrs. Smith has, so why don't you go ask her if she wants to barter with you, and then you can barter with me. I mean, doesn't it just complicate things?
Well, no, look, we can still perform trade with each other. We can have some means of cash and some means of trading with each other, but having a commerce-based reality that supports an economic model. It's all about supporting the economic model. You know, the corporate system, the commerce-based corporatism that we're in. I mean, sure, we can put value on whatever we want. It can be pieces of paper with stamps on them that we get issued by the state. That doesn't matter. It can be anything that we choose to give value to that we can use to barter with each other. But because this whole corporate system is commerce-based and it's all about the bottom line, you know, a corporation, it's always about maximizing profits. And doing it for the least possible expense, and the way you do this, it makes itself more efficient. So everything is about profit. You know, the whole economic model, it's all about profit. We're supposed to live in societies that we've got an economic system that stays in permanent growth. And the only way you can have permanent growth is if you make everything to break, make everything so nothing lasts. Everything's temporary, just to keep the system going along, because it's all about supporting that economic model. It's supposed to be supporting the human race. We're supposed to have a means of trade that benefits us, so we can perform commerce with each other, and we can trade with each other, and we can just live full lives. But we've got a system that functions purely on profit and efficiency, which means it makes the human race expendable. So it's a commerce-based reality. Everything about your life is based in commerce. I mean, you've got to pay to be alive. You should be given a piece of land simply for being born there. Every person born in every country should be given somewhere to live. I mean, that's a given. You know, you're alive, you should be given somewhere to live. That should be one of the functions of government.
Right. I agree with that. That's what Gaddafi was doing. And, well, you saw what happened with him.
Yeah, exactly. See, so because the whole human experience has been replaced with commerce, it's had commerce superimposed over life, whereas your life is about commerce now. You know, and that's not what the human experience is supposed to be. So that's the problem, you know what I mean? And there's nothing wrong with trading with each other. There's nothing wrong with money, essentially. But the money system in its current form, in this corporate system, this is the problem. This is the cause of all of the pollution, all of the problems, everything. It's because commerce has been superimposed over the human experience. That's the basis of all of it. That's the glue that holds this whole corporate system together.
I do agree with that. Credit is also a huge problem as well, because what they do is they inflate the money supply. There's not enough money to pay back all of the debt, and then foreclosures and repossessions are inevitable. And so they keep people in a debt slavery. It's a debt-based currency to begin with, and the only people that win are the money makers.
Well, the whole system's designed to do that. See, because it's a corporate system, and as I said, the human experience has been replaced with commerce, what it does is it transfers all wealth, all the commonwealth of the people, into the hands of those who issue the currency. And all they're doing is issuing the paper. They don't even create the money. People say, oh, banks create all this money out of thin air. They don't. They just issue paper. The people create the money themselves. The banks just steal it off them. That's the purpose of banks. The banks are there to steal the money that the people create and thereby steal all the commonwealth from the people, steal the countries from the people. We're all having our countries stolen from us by the public trustees that are in charge of all of our respective countries. And no one's doing anything about it. Everyone's sitting around waiting to ascend or waiting for the aliens to come or waiting for a big cataclysm at the end of the year or waiting for the dollar to collapse or whatever. Something's going to come along and save them. They don't have to pay attention to what's going on. And so it's just sort of snowballing. And that's the problem. No one's really seeing what the solution is. The solution is to understand what government is. Government is a bunch of people, the same as you and me, who wear expensive suits and who work to steal everything that the people own. That's what they do. And what they actually are public trustees. We actually employ these people to hold the country in trust. It's a fiduciary trust. But we don't do anything about it. We see these governments doing things, so we petition them, and we try to go down legal avenues that they provided for us to go down. We don't ever step back and say, hang on, you guys are in breach of trust. If there's people in this country in a state of hardship, then you're in breach of trust. If the water table's being polluted by coal seam gas, you're in breach of trust. If you haven't fixed Fukushima, you're in breach of trust. If there's one single person in this country that has to struggle to be alive, then you're in breach of trust, because that's not what we employ you to do, because we've just realized what our relationship with you people actually is. That's the attitude people have to have. You know, be calm, be polite, but be real about it. I mean, this is what's going on. The people that are stealing all this stuff from us, these are just people. They're nobody special. They're just people. And they're getting away with it because they write all these stupid little rules on pieces of paper and they dare to call it law. Well, that's fine. We'll deal with that later. We'll deal with your legislation later. But let's for now look at this trust agreement, which is the basis of my entire relationship with you people. And I would suggest, because looking at the state of the world, that you're all in breach of trust. And, you know, we the people need to stand up and address this, because that's the only way the world's going to change.
Well, yeah. We keep hearing we've got to stand up, we've got to fight this, but I mean, how do we fight this, though? We had a guest recently who actually was proposing a violent revolution and actually proposing that certain people organize in certain places and commit violence against the people that are in office to physically remove them. Now, I don't condone that view whatsoever, but he did make a pretty solid case in presenting this idea, because these people don't listen to anything else except for that.
Well, that's why you've got to talk to the community. If you've got the power of community, you can simply stand up and step away from this system. You don't need any violence. You know, it's a lot easier to go out and have violence than it is to respect your neighbors, to face the fears within yourself that cause you to be divided from your neighbors. That's the problem, you see. People say they want to point the finger at someone and think, I'll just go and attack this person and burn down the mansion, and I'll put another mansion there and another person there, and I'll get him to run my life. That's all that is. I mean, violent revolution, we've had violent revolution all through history. Look what it's achieved. We've got the world that we see today. It hasn't achieved anything, because humankind has never been spiritually evolved enough to deal with freedom. We've always looked for a new parent. Every time we've pulled someone down, we've looked for a new parent to fix things for us. We've never taken responsibility for ourselves. And that's where the solution lies. We've got to take responsibility for ourselves. And we've got to see the people around us as valid. I mean, I talk about this so often on the shows, Chris. I've gone through this a million times with people. That the real problems that we face is the fear within ourselves that keeps us divided from the people around us, that causes us to see the people around us as different. And if we could just respect the people around us and all stand together, we could simply hold these governments in breach of trust. And anything that they do, I mean, if the government gives you any sort of a fine or anything, well, that's fine. You could approach it from the correct way. I mean, don't argue with the police or anything, but if you get dragged to court or anything, say, well, I want this matter heard in a court of equity, and I want to discuss the trust agreement that you believe gives you jurisdiction over me for a start. I need to establish your jurisdiction before I'm even going to address any of your statute regulations. Because you're just people. You're just human beings, the same as me. I'm living flesh. Blood flows in my veins. I'm not some little corporate entity. And I want to talk about the trust agreement, the power that I give you, that you believe gives you the power to arrest me for a breach of a statute for which there is no injured party. And look at the actions of you people. I mean, look at the state of the world. You know, we need to discuss this. And that's the attitude people need to have. Everybody needs to have this. Everybody needs to realize what these governments are and what's going on, and stop sitting around waiting to be saved or waiting to ascend or believing you've got to put yourself in a bubble of love and light and the world's going to change, because it isn't. It takes your participation, people. That's what I find incredibly frustrating about this whole thing, Chris.
Amen. Amen. What about when they say, well, we have jurisdiction. If we didn't have jurisdiction, you wouldn't be standing here in this court.
Well, look, I would suggest that if they've come and arrested you or something, if you've committed a crime, then if you've injured something, or you've done something and there's an injured party and they've arrested you, well, perhaps they have jurisdiction. But if there is no injured party in your action, then what they've actually done is they've performed an act of ownership. They've exercised the right of ownership. And you'll find that you've got anti-slavery laws in your country, which would deal with that. You know, no individual can be compelled to perform any task or action against their will. It's the law in every single country on earth. There are only two things that are against the law in every country on earth, and that is piracy and slavery. And so that's the way people need to look at it.
Meditate on that, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back right here on Truth Frequency. Nobody can be forced to do anything against their will, yet we are still living in slavery. Max Egan is our guest, thecrowhouse.com, his website, regular contributor here on Truth Frequency. But I think that just goes to show that this slavery, Max, is 100% voluntary.
Well, it is. That's the thing. I mean, you've got to question it. I just encourage people to question authority at every turn, but do it politely. I mean, I always do. Now, if a police officer even talks to me at all, the first thing I ask him is he arresting me or what controversy I'm involved in that's required him to talk to me, because I don't sort of go out and do protests and things. I mean, I'm not involved in controversy. So I always question them if they ever talk to me at all. And you've got to question these people, and you've got to question authority, and you've got to know who and what you are before you even go and get involved in that system. You know, I reckon you should challenge these people as much as you can and do it politely. Always, always question authority. You know, if you're not hurting anybody from your actions, then always, always question authority and encourage other people to do the same. You know, we've got to take the power back. We really do. Have group meetings, get information out to people, share radio shows with people, and get the information out and have group meetings and know who and what you are, question authority, stand in your flesh, and if anybody chooses to exercise a right of ownership over you, look into even their statute regulations and find where the slavery clauses are and take action against them. Don't take action like if you're arrested by someone from the New York Police Department, you don't take action against the New York Police Department. You take action against the man within the uniform who arrested you. You know what I'm saying? You might be Constable John Smith. Well, it doesn't even matter what his rank is. It's just John Smith. You take action against that person for slavery. Because no one has a right of ownership over anybody. And we employ these governments. They're public trustees. They hold the nation in trust for the American people. They hold the nation in trust for the Australian people. That's the perspective we have to have. And that's the only remedy that we've got against this system, is for us to realize who and what we are. But again, you know, one person tries to stand up and do this, you can get into a lot of trouble. So you need the community with you. So you've got to lead by example in all you do. Break down these barriers that you have with the people around you, because that's where the real problem lies. And otherwise, I mean, what are you going to do? Whip up an angry mob and go and burn down the mission, burn down the castle? That's not going to do anything, because it's just pulling one tyrant and putting in another one. You're not addressing the root cause of the problem, which is the division in the community. You know, the way we've been trained to be divided, because we're all caught on this treadmill because we've had the human life experience replaced with corporate commerce, you know.
Right.
That's the problem, you know.
You know, I would say it's the opposite, though. Rather than going after the human, you go after the police force or the government entity that trained and employed the human. Because all in all, we're dealing with human beings, and human beings are brainwashed. They're trained in certain ways. And the officer that arrested me, the DHS officer, I know that you saw the video and many people have out there. I didn't feel like he was trying to violate my rights. I felt like he really believed what he was doing was right. What he was doing was lawful. And after that, I hope that he got a nice education in what lawful is and what unlawful is, especially with the federal dismissal. But would it be right to go after the human even after that? I mean, wouldn't that just essentially undo any kind of understanding and that he's an enlightenment that he's achieved, and then just turn his head the other way and make him look at us like we're just out to get them personally?
Well, the thing is, Chris, if you can't go after a corporation, you can't go after the police force, because it's a corporate entity. It's dead. It doesn't exist. It's not real. It's populated by people. You know, the police that work within there, they might be nice guys, but they're brainwashed. They're behaving pathologically, because they're supporting a corporate system which doesn't benefit humanity. They're saying, look, I have no choice. I have to arrest you. I have to do this. I have to do that because it says here on this piece of paper that I have to do it. They're not thinking for themselves. And you can't take action against that piece of paper. You can't take action against the state of New York because the state of New York is fictitious. It's not real. I mean, it might be a piece of land, but you can't go up and talk to it. It's a dead entity. So you've got to take action against the people in it, you know. I would say something like, well, you know, if the state of New York chooses to exercise a right of ownership over me through you and your enforcement of one of their statutes, I need you to know that should you continue, I will be taking action against you for breach of whatever clause it is in your slavery laws. In Australia, it's sections 268 and 270 of the Australian Criminal Code. Any police officer that chooses to exercise a right of ownership over me on behalf of the state needs to understand that I will be taking action against the man within the uniform because ultimately he's a human being, I'm a human being, and he has no right to exercise a right of ownership over me in order to enforce a statute put there by a state that I have given power to because the people who run the state are public trustees. I'm the grantor of the power to these public trustees and I'm the beneficiary of the power that they hold. So this is the way I look at the whole thing. So, you know, you can do what you want. You can arrest me, and I'm sorry, but if you choose to exercise a right of ownership over me, I need you to know that I will be taking action against you, and I'll be holding you accountable for your actions because we have anti-slavery laws in this country. And there is no injured party from any of my actions. Sure, I'm questioning the government. I'm questioning the government because of their actions, and if you think the government doesn't need questioning, then Exhibit A, the Earth, have a look at the place. All of the problems that we see on this planet, these are all created by governments that we, the people, give our power to. That's how they create the problems. They're all in breach of trust. But we're going down this avenue, these legal avenues that they provide for us. We're petitioning them. We're taking them to law courts and we're trying all of these ways, voting people in, voting people out, all of the parameters that they give us to work within, which tie us up in red tape, ensure that nothing ever changes. The agenda continues the way it does, the way it always has, because we're not seeing what our relationship with these people is, which is a trust agreement. They're all in breach of trust. They're all, and if they choose to stop us addressing this breach of trust by standing in our power and being who and what we are, well, the only way they can do that is through slavery. And we've got slavery laws, even under their legislation. Every single country has got slavery laws. So use those slavery laws. Use them against the people within these organizations that are choosing to exercise a right of ownership over you. Make an example of some of these people, and pretty soon the other ones will stop exercising a right of ownership. They'll start realizing that the people aren't going to take it anymore and that we wish to take the ship of state in a different direction and that our public trustees are in breach of trust. That's the approach we have to have.
I'm glad you said no injured party because we have to make that distinction, I feel, because if there is an injured party, then yes, there is a redressability.
Well, there is. That's the thing, you know, and this is the way out of the system because we've got this system where we're kind of caught in this system where we're trapped by this society that we're in. You know what I mean? Because we don't know how to break free of it. And so everyone comes along and offers these remedies for people. Oh, look, it's okay anyway because you're all going to ascend. Or the Palladians are coming, or you know, whatever. It's all this stuff, you know. Mass arrests. There's going to be all these things happening. You don't have to do anything. It's all good. You're going to be saved, you know. Well, you're not going to be saved, folks, not unless you apply yourself to reality, and the first step is self-awareness. Self-awareness, self-realization, know who and what you are, and have acceptance of yourself. Know how perfect you are. Everybody's perfect. We are all so perfect, and we are all so capable of so much. But we just don't see this in ourselves. We're given all these yardsticks by society to measure ourselves up to, and we miss out on ourselves. We never really find who and what we are because we don't measure up to what we think we should be or we think we should look like or what we think we should have or what we think we should live or, you know, how we should be perceived by our peers and all of this rubbish that they give us, you know. But everybody's perfect and everybody is capable of so much, and there's nobody in the world that has control over you or should claim to have control over you. Nobody. Everybody is equal under God, under whatever you perceive God to be. Everybody is equal. And we've had that power taken away from us by this society. We have to reclaim it. And the first step is to know who and what you are. Stand in that power. Stand in the power of your flesh. It's a beautiful thing. And you're perfect. Every single person is perfect. They're perfect at being who and what they are, which is what they came here to experience. You know? So, you know, the thing is that people don't perceive themselves to be perfect. That's the problem, because they're given all of this stuff to measure themselves up to. But when they understand what reality is and how reality works and what their body is and where their consciousness comes from, you know, it all makes sense. And of course they're perfect. And the ultimate truth, the most wonderful treasure they'll ever find, is that perfection within themselves. And, you know, that's the moment that they find themselves. They become self-aware. They have self-realization and acceptance of themselves. And that, you know, and when you can get that within yourself, you can see it in other people. You can see how perfect other people are. So why would you judge them? Why would you see them as a threat to you? Why would they see anybody as a threat to your experience at all? You know? So, you know, we just need to shift this paradigm in ourselves, Chris. I think we've been given an opportunity to do it. I think that's a lot of what this whole 2012 shift is about. I think it's an opportunity, but we have to apply ourselves to it. People have to participate. You have to participate in your own reality. You have to participate in your own salvation. Otherwise, it just doesn't happen.
I completely agree. You told me something off air about a journey that you're about to take. I don't know if you want to make that public or not, but if you do, please take it away.
Going to Peru at the end of this month. On the 31st, I leave here. And it's going to be very interesting, actually. It's been very synchronistic. I've been given a trip. A friend of mine contacted me and said they had a trip to Peru for me. And yes, I'm going off and doing that. Very, very interesting. Like, I've often spoken about this meditation experience I had in 2008 where I connected with the whole field, like the whole quantum reality. It was like a multiverse I connected with, you know, and I was suddenly everywhere all at once, and I felt everybody all at once and everything. I felt all the emotion of reality, and not just this universe, like millions upon millions of universes in a fractal, you know. It was a remarkable experience, and it was so powerful that I fell out of my chair. I fell to my knees on the floor, and I cried for about 7 hours or 7.5 hours after this experience in meditation. I don't know how long the moment even was. It might have been half a second. It might have been an hour. I have no idea. It was like an eternal moment.
I remember you mentioning that on the show.
Yeah, well, I had that experience, and I'd spoken to people about it. Many people had said to me, oh, that sounds like a DMT experience. Sounds like you had a massive release of DMT from your pineal gland. And I thought, well, I don't know. If that's what it sounds like, well, that's just proof that you don't need DMT. You know, you can do it on your own. This stuff's in your body anyway. But many people had told me about this, and they'd always mention it to me. And I thought, well, okay, I'll try it. I'll see what DMT actually does. It's a 5-minute journey. So how much is it going to damage me if I do this, you know? So, I had
bath salts.
You what?
Not as much as bath salts.
Well, exactly, you know, so won't be eating anybody's face off anyway, yeah.
Right, You're pretty safe.
You're pretty safe, yeah. And I'm with friends. I'm sure they can strap me down if I start munching on anyone. But, so I had this DMT experience, and what happened was, I basically saw the hologram of reality, and I got projected into this place, and there was this woman, and she was blue. She looked like someone out of Avatar. This was long before I'd seen Avatar as well. And she looked blue, and she was absolutely beautiful, but not particularly human. And I knew that she was the goddess consciousness. She was the Gaia, the female, the divine feminine, the whole female energy that we all feel that controls this reality. It's her. It seems to be coming from her mind. And she was standing at this console working this machine. Okay, this is the experience I was having. And I'm standing next to her, and she's turned to me, and she said something. It wasn't really in language, but she said something. And she took me down through three layers of the fractal. She started showing me three layers of the fractal universe, the fractal reality. And we got to a certain point. She said, you've got to go back now. And I said, no, I'm good. I can keep going. This is interesting, you know. And she said, no, you've got to go back because your friends are worried about you. But you must come back and see me because there's a lot more that I have to show you. I thought, okay, that's kind of interesting. And then I opened my eyes and I'm there and I'm back. And I thought, well, that was really, really strange. You know, so that was my DMT experience. And, Otherwise, I said, well, I'm not sort of into this sort of stuff, so I'm not like I'm going to become a DMT user or anything. That was enough for me. Now I know what it's like. So it was kind of like the meditation I had. I just wanted that comparison because of, I wanted to know if that was what had happened, if that's what had been released when I had that meditation. But anyway, so I had this haunting feeling of this woman telling me I have to go back and see her. And, I always thought, well, I don't want to use DMT, so, you know, the only way to really do it would be through ayahuasca, to do a proper ceremony. And maybe one day I'll have an ayahuasca ceremony and I'll go back and I'll see her and, she can show me what she wanted to show me, because I know that's kind of who she was. She was that mother energy, you know. And, I've been offered ceremony around here quite often in the last couple of years. And I've never felt comfortable with the people that have been offered me ceremony. I've got some strange energies and stuff, you know, a lot of pseudo shamanism and all this sort of thing. And I'd always said, no, look, I won't do ceremony. And, you know, I'll do ceremony maybe one day, but if I do it, I'll go to Peru and I'll do it properly in the jungle with a shaman. And I do it all traditionally, you know. And, I said this even though my passport had expired years ago. I hadn't even bothered getting a new one, and the chances of me getting to Peru are minuscule. And, but even though she's been calling me a lot lately for ceremony, and I keep turning ceremonies down. And so, of course, because she's been calling me so much, of course I get a message over Skype from someone who lives a half an hour's drive from me. He says, "Hi Max, I just unforeseen circumstances, I've ended up with a spare ticket to Peru to go to a 9-day ayahuasca retreat, all expenses paid. Would you like the ticket?" And I thought, well, she's obviously saying, okay, Peru, shaman, that's what we want, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, here's Peru and here's the shaman. Are we heeding the call now? So I thought, well, obviously I've got to go and do this ceremony. Because it for it to be Peru with a shaman and the whole thing and free and just bang, here it is in your lap. How do you happen to have a spare ticket to Peru? I don't know. But, it's just, I thought, well, she's made this happen. You know, like the calling has been very strong. So yeah, so that's what I'm doing. I'm going to Peru. We're going to do a couple of days in Lima and then we're going into the jungle. And we're going to spend 9 days in the jungle and we're going to do ceremony. And it'd be very, very interesting, mate.
That's amazing. I have to say that from what I've heard, the experiences in the jungle are completely different than the experiences here. And unfortunately, I've only been able to experience it here, but we'd love to talk to you about your experiences there in the jungle and how everything is just different there with the energies of the region and getting the plants. I mean, going out there and actually, I imagine that this is what they're doing, actually going down, getting the plants themselves, brewing them, and so on and so forth.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's quite remarkable that it's all happening and the synchronicities that have brought it to me and the fact that I said, if I'm ever going to do it, I'll do it in Peru with shaman, rah, rah, rah. To have it just thrown in my lap. This is the way my life works, Chris. It's been like this for the last 4 years. It's just been one long series of synchronicities. Everything just fits in exactly where it's supposed to. So, yeah, I'll be happy to come on and talk to you about it after the experience. But, it's quite remarkable, really. It's not something that I ever really planned to do, but it's been calling me. And,
apparently. Did they tell you anything about preparation? Not preparing the brew, but preparing yourself for the journey, as far as diet, things like that?
Well, I've been on a pretty good diet anyway, so I know all about that. Yeah, there's some stuff that they told us about, you know, stopping sugar and all this sort of stuff, so.
Yeah, no sugar, no salt, no sex. That's one thing that a lot of people don't do. And ayahuasca is a very jealous spirit. It's a female spirit, from what I can tell. And she's very jealous.
Yeah. When they heard that I was coming, they wanted to know who I was and why I wanted to come and all this sort of stuff. And I told them about the experience that I've just told you. And they said, that's wonderful that you met the Madre and she works in mysterious ways and that you're obviously being called. And so, they're happy to facilitate. So, it's quite remarkable how it's all come together, Chris. But it's interesting too, because with the shows I've been doing, I mean, everything that I've been talking about, like the stuff that I talked about today, it gets enormously frustrating for me to see the solution to our problems and to have people still searching for solutions. I mean, it's right there. It's to know who and what you are and to understand this is all trust and all this sort of stuff. This is the solutions. And I talk about this on the show so often that I don't even really know how to say it anymore. I've said it so many ways and so many times that, you know, here's the solution, folks. All you have to do is to implement it yourself in your own life. It's a personal thing. You know, it's got to be done by individuals, and it's got to start somewhere, so why not start with you, you know? I mean, I do it, and I encourage people around me to have this view of the world, just to see things a little bit more realistic anyway. I just want people to find the power in themselves, you know? So I've been wondering where to take the shows, because there's got to be a way of shifting the paradigm with people. That's the big problem that we're facing, is shifting the paradigm. You know, you can point the finger at people all you like, but until you shift the paradigm within people's minds and help them understand that they're free, we're never really going to get anywhere. Because, you know, the human race has never really seen what freedom is. We equate freedom with freedom of choice. You know, we think that's free. I'm free to work at what job I want, or live where I want, or buy what car I want, or dress how I want. You know, but that's not freedom. You know, freedom is self-responsibility and self-empowerment. If you're not prepared to take responsibility for yourself, well, you're going to be ruled, you know, and these rulers may not have your best interests at heart. And why should they? If you're not even prepared to take responsibility for yourself, then how much worth do you have? You know, that's the way they look at it, you know. So they justify their actions simply by people's failure to take responsibility for themselves, you know. And how much can you blame them, you know? So you've really got to shift your paradigm about all of this, I believe. And that's how the solutions must be implemented. So I'm thinking that because I've been saying this so much, and you know, I've said everything I've said on the shows, and I've wanted to take it to a new level, and I need help. I need a method of shifting this paradigm within people, of saying it in a way that can be comprehended. So perhaps that's a lot of what this trip's about. Perhaps it's a calling to help take things to the next level. Because I really feel that's going to happen this year. I really think things are going to escalate to the next level. But again, we have to participate and make it happen.
I think it definitely is in the frequency, because we're right there with you. Hold on, we're getting a little bit of feedback here. Let me see if I can take care of that. Okay, anyways, I think that's just in the frequency right now in people's minds, is to change it up and break those paradigms. That's what we're going to be talking about with George Cavazos in the second hour, on just completely breaking those paradigms apart. And I'm right there with you with the show. We've got to take it to a new level. And that's why I can't help but think this consciousness shift is very, very, very real. I mean, we're seeing it every day. We're even seeing it in the media, where they're a lot more hesitant to put out the major propaganda because people are sniffing it out as BS. They're losing listeners, they're losing viewers, because people are realizing that they're not putting the truth out.
Well, they are, absolutely. We're actually, I'm going to be hopefully working with a couple of people later in the year, and we're going to create some sort of an alternative media thing as well. A couple of quite well-known people, I won't tell you who they are for the moment, but try to form like a group of at least three of us and take the fight to them. I mean, start saying things that are in your face, you know, and do it in such a way that the mainstream media and the politicians have to listen. One of the people I'm working with has got a lot of global recognition, so yeah, it would be interesting to see how that goes as well. So I'll keep you posted on that one, but that won't be till after I get back from Peru.
So very good. Let me ask you this: in your movie Transformation, you talked about the chemtrails pretty extensively and the nanobots as well. Yeah. Monsanto is developing aluminum-resistant biotech seeds.
Of
Have
course.
You heard this?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they've been doing aluminum-resistant seeds for quite a while, actually, different strains, because they know what they're doing. I mean, and eventually, see, this is why a lot of people's gardens are failing as well. Even people that are growing organic food are having trouble growing it in a lot of places because of the aluminum content in the soil. So, you know, you have to grow Monsanto food because it's the only thing that will grow. So yeah, they know exactly what they're doing.
And what's coming up for the Grow House? I mean, besides what you're working on there and the ayahuasca thing, anything coming up on the shows? Any guests? Anything like that?
Well, I had Rick Simpson on yesterday. That was a great show. Rick's been out there curing the world with hemp, doing really, really well. I want to have Ken O'Keefe come on. I've got so many interviews with other stations as well, so it's kind of difficult. I was planning on having David come on the show, David Icke, sometime as well. But again, it's just finding the time.
Right, right. I'm right there with you.
But I don't really plan the shows. I mean, I just sort of do a meditation and then I go on and I just start talking and it just comes out the way it does. So I don't really plan them and it all kind of happens from week to week, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I don't know where this echo is coming from. We've never had an echo problem before.
No,
very,
no.
Very strange. Let me try disconnecting this. Maybe it's coming from there. Ah, there we go. Okay, that seemed to fix it. Excellent. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, there's the break music, and I still don't know what's going on with this echo, so bear with us. I'm going to do some troubleshooting on the other side. We'll be back with George Kavassalas. Max, thank you very much for your time this evening.
No worries, Chris. My pleasure.
Absolutely. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.